note-taking materials. And I've been looking forward to this weekend for some time, a long time. I want you to understand something, church folks, that you may not know. But the people, the preachers, the men of God that we bring to guest here are just among the finest in the nation, the finest in the world. I mean, these are the elite servants of God who are gifted. And with their gifts, they have surrendered. And so their gifting and their surrender and their yielding to the power of God. Just, I heard great preachers when I was at Tennessee Temple. It's the same kind of preachers that God has blessed us with. And Dr. Gibbs is certainly on the A1 list of that group that I'm talking about. And I don't want you to feel old, Dr. Gibbs. But as a student at Tennessee Temple, I heard you speak in the earliest years of your ministry. And I praise the Lord for the challenge. I remember when I heard Dr. Gibbs preach at Highland Park Baptist Church at Tennessee Temple University back in the early 80s. Had an influence. I never would have thought that I would be standing in a pulpit of my home church and introducing Dr. David Gibbs to our church family. Thank you, Brother Gibbs, for coming. Thank you for being my friend, and thank you for being a friend to our church. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. What a privilege to be here. And my heart's been blessed by the music and blessed by the spirit you have here. Please let me warn you, the spirit you have here is of the Lord's making. And if you think it's of your making, God will give you back to you. And quickly, you'll want the Lord back. And boy, what a precious, precious spirit. And I love your pastor. I love his family. And please bear your preacher up in prayer. The devil hates what you have going on here and would do anything he could to hurt it, anything to hurt your pastor that he could. And my wife and I have been praying for this meeting and praying for your pastor. And tonight I'm going to ask you to pray for him. Please remember them in prayer. The only hope America has, I know you heard it this morning, is the gospel and the local church. So please put it in prayer. If you have your Bibles, please turn, if you would, to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. I want to give you something tonight that I consider crucial in the life of every believer. If you're not good, if I'm not good at what we're going to talk about tonight, we're in serious trouble. Because what we're going to talk about is the most powerful thing in the universe. And God wants you and I to be really good. I mean super good at doing the most powerful thing in the universe. And you say, well, what's that, Brother Gibbs? It's called prayer. Do you understand? Prayer moves the arm of the Almighty. Prayer enables God's people to do the impossible. When is the last time, by the grace of God, by the power of God, that you moved the arm of the Almighty? When is the last time that you did the impossible? Wow. Jesus is about to teach his disciples and his followers how to pray. And in Mark chapter 11, the Son of God does something that I think was a little unusual. Up until now, Pastor, Jesus has been doing all the praying. Now he's going to show his followers how to pray. But he doesn't start out at an elementary level. He doesn't say to his followers what I would have expected. I thought he would say something like, let's get you praying for simple things so that you kind of get used to it. Let's make it where you learn how to pray and nothing too challenging. Instead, he immediately takes his followers to the impossible. And he says to them, I want you to know how to pray for impossible things, not challenging things, not difficult things, impossible things. And he tells them how to do it. Now, he's about to use a term here that I want to familiarize you with before we read it. He says, I want you to move mountains. That's what he calls it. And mountain moving was a frame of speech that they used in that day that we still use to this day. Have you ever heard somebody say, I got a mountain of debt? They don't have a literal mountain. They got an impossible amount of debt. I got a mountain of health trouble. I got a mountain of relationship difficulties. By the way, relationships can quickly get impossible. A relationship can be so impossible you can't even figure out how it got to where it is. And Jesus said, I'm going to show you how to move mountains, do the impossible. Let's read it together. Verse 22, chapter 11, the book of Mark. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now, I have that underlined and highlighted in my Bible. I trust maybe you ought to do the same. Be real careful. When you get ready to pray, our faith is not in our prayer. Our faith is in God. It's not in how fervent you pray, and boy, we're to pray fervent, but our faith is in God. God can do the impossible, and he invites us to come and have him do the impossible. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, God didn't say, maybe you'll get it. He didn't say, maybe you got a good shot at it. He said, I'm telling you, if you ask in faith believing, you will have what you ask for. Well, yeah, but Brother Gibbs, I mean, surely somebody here, maybe our pastor, he could do it. Maybe there's some other really noble Christian here who could do it. No. Your name is in this verse. My name is in the verse. Let's go back and look. Let's find your name. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, now circle the word whosoever, that's your name. That's my name. The same word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, that's us. God says, I want you. Maybe you're the most noble Christian on the planet. Perhaps you're not like me. And the bottom line is God says, I want David Gibbs to be able to do the impossible. I want you to be able to do the impossible. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now look at verse 24. Therefore, because of this, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when ye pray. By the way, what do you desire? What is it you want? What is it you want to see God do? How did you get comfortable wanting next to nothing? How did we get there? Whatsoever things you desire when ye pray, love this, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, your pastor didn't put this in the Bible. I didn't put it in the Bible. The Savior put it in the Bible. God put it there. And my question tonight is, how good are you at moving mountains, at doing the impossible? Jesus said there's two keys. Number one, you got to ask. And number two, you got to do it in faith believing. And there it is, asking and believing. I was in a very, very poor meeting, poor by the name of how the people were prosperity-wise. It was a great meeting. It was in the Pacific Rim. And the people who came to this meeting had next to nothing. There were hundreds and hundreds of them at this meeting. But we were the only people there with shoes on. They didn't have money for shoes. And they were dressed in what we would call rags. They had nothing. But three mothers walked up to me, who I found out later, barefoot, had walked over 55 miles to get to that meeting. And these three mothers came up to me and they said, "Brother Gibbs, must be hard for you to pray in America." I said, "Why would you say such a thing?" They said, "Well, you have everything, or you think you do." I said, "I don't understand what you're saying." The mother said, "Do you understand? If we don't pray, our kids don't eat." Now, can you imagine how you'd pray tonight if your kids were hungry and you had no food? You'd move mountains for them. She said, "We don't pray, our kids don't eat." She said, "We don't pray our kids die. There's no medicine. There are no doctors. We don't pray marauders come in and steal everything, including our families." Must be hard for you to pray, because you think you have everything. Wow. If you could do the impossible, what would it be tonight? What would you ask God to do in faith, believing, to move mountains? Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Mark chapter 9, verse 29. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Chapter 10, verse 27, Mark, "With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Luke 8, 27, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." "Call unto me," the Bible says, "and I'll show you great and mighty things thou knowest not." You see, we've gotten comfortable not asking. We've gotten comfortable saying, "I don't need the impossible. If you just give me a little help now and then, I can handle about 80% of the Christian life. And if you just kick in and help me a little bit, Jesus." That lady's right. It must be hard for you to pray, because you think you have everything. If for God's honor, if for God's glory, what would you ask for tonight? What would go on your list? It's only impossible with man. It's never impossible with God. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, just between you and me, what if I ask and God doesn't answer? Now listen very carefully. The scripture's clear. There's only four times God will not answer a prayer. Number one, you didn't ask. You have not because you what? Asked not. Boy, I just know when I get to heaven, Brother Bartlett, the Lord is going to scold me blue. He's going to say, "David, you asked for so pitiful, pitiful little. Why didn't you ask? Did you not understand I'm all powerful? Nothing impossible for me. But you never asked." What a statement. Wow. How many of you know the name Lester Roloff, right? Great man of God of yesteryear. We were doing a trial. I did 14 jury trials for Brother Roloff. And I was in his room once during one of the trials, and when I went in his motel room, he had papers all over both beds, on the floor, on a table, a chair, a dresser. There were papers everywhere. And I said, "Are these papers for the trial?" He said, no. He said, "They have nothing to do with the trial." I said, "Well, what are these papers for?" He said, "This is my prayer list." I said, "There's hundreds of pages here." He said, "David, I'm asking God for a lot." Then he looked at me and he said, "Son, how did you get comfortable asking for so little? How did you get comfortable asking for so little?" Wow. You don't ask. You have not because you ask not. There's a second time he will not answer your prayer. You ask, but James chapter 4 said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your own lust. You're praying selfish. You're just praying for you. It's not for Jesus' honor. Oh, God, I want to be a gajillionaire. I want to be a billionaire gajillionaire, whatever that is. God, I just want, I want, I want. And God says, we're not going to play that game. This is not so that you can just be selfish with prayer. God says, no, 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 I won't answer that prayer. There's a third time he won't answer. And that is if he says, it's not in my will for you. He loves you too much to give you something outside of his will. Every parent has had their kid ask for something that was not in that child's best interest. Well, God says, I'm not going to give it to you outside of my will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But there's a fourth time, and that is he is answering it, but not on your timetable. Oh, he's doing it, but you just want it now. And because you're not getting it now, you think he's not answering. He is answering. He's just saying, it's not on your timetable for this moment, but it's coming. Wow. I was in a church service in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and a guy came forward to get saved. Roughest looking guy I think I ever saw in church. I mean, he was mean looking. And when he came forward to get saved, that church came uncorked. They started shouting and yelling and praising God. And I said to the pastor, wow, this a guy you've been praying for? He said, oh, yeah, we've been praying for a long time. He said, Brother Gibbs, this is the meanest man I've ever tried to reach for Christ. When we'd go out to see him, he'd shoot at us with our car. He said, my car is full of bullet holes from his guns. He'd shoot at us. And he wounded two of our people. I said, wow, no wonder you're praising God. He said, no, that's not it. He said, you see the lady sitting over here on the second row sobbing? That's his mother. Brother Gibbs, for 19 years she's been at the altar every service, asking God to change the heart of her boy and reach him for Christ. And I told her, Mary, you don't have to keep coming forward. She said, no, the devil's not going to win this. I am going to stay asking. Who did you give up on? Who have you stayed asking for? The effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual means continuous. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But you got to ask in faith, believing. I was just a kid, and a young evangelist called our house. This evangelist had just come to town. He wanted to put a tent up for a tent meeting. And I don't think he was 20 years old yet. I think he was probably 19. And he called my dad and he said, Mr. Gibbs, I understand you have semi-trucks. My dad said, we got quite a few of them. Yeah, we were in the meat business and we had semi-trucks. And he said, I just wonder, could you come out and help me pull my tent up? He said, the trucks I have are so shot, they're so decrepit, that they don't have the power to pull the tent up. So could you come out and help me pull it up? My dad said, sure, how many do you think you need? He said, well, it's a pretty big tent. He said, maybe 8 or 10. My dad said, I'll be out there with 10 trucks and 10 drivers. Well, Saturday morning, man, he got those trucks ready to roll. And anytime I could hop in them, I just liked to go along for the ride. I was probably 7 or 8, maybe not that old. When we got out there, the tent was laid out all over the ground. And my dad got out and walked all over his tent, looked at it, came back. And here was this young man, this young evangelist. And my dad said, son, I don't know how to tell you this. Your tent is shot. It's full of holes. You got more patch than tent. Are you aware of that? Literally. And he said, there's some holes in your tent, a dozen of them. You could drive a truck through the hole. He said, this tent isn't going anywhere today. It's shot. That young man looked at my dad and he said, you're right, Mr. Gibbs. I know it and you know it. But he said, I need this tent to put the gospel in this town. So here's what I want you to do. Hook your truck up, hook all 10 of them up, but don't pull. Just hook them up and be ready. He said, then I'm going to go over here and get on my face with the Lord, and I'm going to ask God to move a mountain. I'm going to ask God to do something impossible. I'd never heard that before. That was the first time in my life I ever heard somebody say they're going to move a mountain. He said, just hook up, but don't pull. He walked away, and I turned to my dad. I said, what's he talking about, moving a mountain? My dad said, he's going to ask God to do what can't be done. He's going to ask the Almighty to do what no man can do. I said, is God going to do that? He said, you're going to find out. When's the last time you put your faith on point? Where you said, I'm going to ask God to do the impossible. And you said it. Oh no, Brother Gibbs, I'm just not sure my God's that reliable. Well, you're shot from the start. Because you got to ask in faith, believing. Your God is that powerful. Don't you let the devil talk you out of it. Don't you let the devil talk you into playing safe. Well, they hooked those tents up. And man, they didn't pull. And then that young evangelist walked a distance like from here to that door and got on his face in the field. And he started crying out to the Lord. And several of my dad's drivers walked over and he said, what's he doing? My dad said, he's asking God for the impossible. And I remember one of them said, well, he's going to need God to do something. I'm going to pull this tent up. This thing is shot. Well, after about 15 minutes, he came back. He said, okay, pull. My dad said, son, we'll do it. I just don't want you upset when it's in a million pieces. He said, Mr. Gibbs, I serve a mountain-moving God. By the way, you do too. But you're fearful. And your fear is eating your faith alive. They started pulling. Strange thing happened. That tent started vibrating. And it started making a humming noise. Loud. And as it went up, it vibrated more and got louder and louder. And it went all the way up, and it stayed together. He said, okay, stop, stop, stop. Now, stake it off, stake it off. And they staked it off, and my dad's driver goes, how do you do that? I saw him turn to my dad and say, explain to me how he did that. That's not possible. You can't explain the impossible. If you can explain it, man could do it. The impossible only God can do. Wow. My dad came over by him again. He said, son, I'll give it to you. You got a mountain-moving God. This is something. But my dad said, I don't think we should tempt God anymore. We should raise some money and buy you a new tent. And he said, nope, I only need this tent for 2 weeks. He said, then I've already rented an old dilapidated movie theater in town that holds 60 people, and it's very rat infested, and I'm going to start a church here. My dad said, well, good for you. But he said, there is something you can pray for. My dad said, what can I pray for you for? He said, I want to put the Romans Road on television. My dad said, you want to put the gospel on TV? He said, yeah. Now, television was in its early infancy. This is like 1950, 1949. My dad looked at him and said, you want to put the Romans Road on television? And by the way, how many of you remember the white snowy screens of the early television? How many of you remember them? And how many of you remember then we'd have the kids, the grandkids go up and hold the rabbit ears? And nuke them to get a better picture. My dad said, "You're going to put the Romans Road on television? Wow." My dad looked at me and said, "Son, you have any training?" He said, "No, sir, I don't." So my dad said, "You got no education credentials?" He said, "Mr. Gibbs, I never graduated from high school. In my junior year, my dad died. And I had to go to work to feed my three sisters and my mother, so I never got to graduate." He said, "Well, do you have any experience?" He said, "No. Never been on TV or near it in my life." My dad said, "You got any money?" He said, "No, if I had money, I'd have a new tent." That's what he said. I thought, listen to that. My dad looked at him and said, "What makes you think you're going to put the Romans Road on television?" Now, you understand, television in this day came on in the middle of the afternoon, about 4 o'clock, and it was off at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. That's all it was on. My dad said, "What makes you think you're going to put the Romans Road on television?" He said, "Because I asked." "Because I asked." He said, "Mr. Gibbs, God could get so much better than me, but nobody else has asked. And I'm asking in faith, believing." Wow. Wait till you see what could have been had we asked. On the way home in the truck, I turned to my dad, Brother Bartlett. I said, "You think he's going to put the Romans Road on television? Man, I'd like to see that." My dad said, "Son, I don't know. Here's what I know. If you ask in faith, believing, the God you serve says he'll do it." And he asked. Well, he did his tent meeting. Then he moved in his little rat-infested TV or movie theater. And by the way, had the strangest sign out front I've ever seen in front of any church. We went there one time. The sign out front said, "Our building is rat infested and we're trying to get rid of them, but we have not succeeded. So when you come, please keep your feet on the seat in front of you so if something furry runs by, you don't jump." I thought, what a welcoming sign for a church. That young man, the next Saturday, went up to the local TV station, found the manager, and he said, "I don't have any money. I have no experience, but I want you to put me on TV for 10 minutes so I can give the Romans Road and people can get saved." He looked at me and said, "Why would I do that?" He said, "I got people standing in line with money, and I don't have any time to sell them. There's no more time available. Why would I give it to you for free?" He said, "Because I asked." He said, "You asked who?" He said, "I asked God." Are you willing to put your faith out front? You know what the Bible says? If you're ashamed of the name of Jesus, he'll be ashamed of you. That station manager said, "Get out of here. We're not putting that on, and I'm sure not doing it for free. Get out of here." And he left. Next Saturday, he went back a second time. And he said, "I still don't have any money, but I need 10 minutes. Now the station manager got abusive and swore at him terrible. Said, "Get out of here. That's never going on this station, ever." And threw him off the property. Went back the third week. Now the station manager got abusive. He said, "You show up one more time, I'll have you arrested for trespass. You are never getting on this station, ever. I don't want religion on it, and it's never going to be here." And so as he was walking off the property, a lady sitting there at a desk, a secretary, said, "Can I ask you a question, sir?" This young evangelist said, "Sure." She said, "This Romans Road, does it tell somebody who's dying how to go to heaven?" He said, "That's exactly what it does, yes." She said, "Well, my sister is dying. Could you come give her the Romans Road?" He said, "I'd be glad to." She said, well, get in your car and follow me. Now, he thought the sister lived in the area. What he didn't know is the sister lived 200 miles away. And he's following this secretary. And now he's running out of fuel. And so he's blinking his lights. And they pull over and he said, I didn't realize it was so far. I don't have money for fuel. She said, I'll put the fuel in. You got to get to Romans Road to my sister. They finally got there. Good thing they did. Within a half an hour of when he got to the sister's house, she trusted Christ. And 3 days later, she was in eternity. As they were leaving the sister's house, the secretary turned to this young evangelist and said, is what you did with my sister what you want to put on TV? He said, that's exactly what I want. I need 10 minutes. She said, well, come next week. You're going to be on TV. He said, that is a really sweet thought. Thank you for that thought. But that station manager, he hates me. She said, I know, that's my husband. But here's what you don't know. He doesn't own the station, I do. He doesn't decide what goes on, I do. And I've been watching to see if you'd stop. Your God spoke to me the first time you came. You come next Saturday, you're on. She said, now your suit is shot. Here's some money for a new suit. Get that suit and be ready to give the Romans Road. That's what he did. The next Saturday, he gave 10 minutes, gave the Romans Road. And after that 10 minutes, he said, if you prayed that prayer with me, call this number. And 450 people called that number. The next Saturday, double that number called. Because people had never heard the gospel over a television screen. She came, this secretary that owned the station, and she said, I own two other stations, now you're on three. And she said, I know everybody who has a station, I'm calling all my friends. And within a year's time, he was on 1,600 stations. Everybody went to this young evangelist and said, how'd you do that? He said, I asked. I asked in faith, believing, and God did it. You see, the devil wants you to do anything but ask because he's dead and conquered when you ask. Because now you got God in the picture. Whoa. Before he was done, every Saturday with the Romans Road, they'd have thousands of people call and say, I prayed that sinner's prayer. Now what do I do? God's looking for somebody to ask in faith, believing. It'll change everything. How about your kids? How about your family? What would you do for them if you really believed your God moves mountains? What would you do in your own life? What would you like changed? I can still vividly remember the morning. My mom was cooking breakfast. It was 4:45. And I remember saying to me, run, get your dad out of the barn. I think I'm really sick. And I ran to the barn, and when we came back, my mom had stepped away into the living room and was laying on the couch, shaking violently. Blood was pouring out of the corner of her eyes and out of her mouth, out of her nose. Polio, spinal meningitis had come to our house. She was desperately fighting for breath. We called the ambulance. They came. They punched a hole in my mother's throat the size of a 50-cent piece. And I remember the ambulance technician saying, we're going to try to get her alive to the hospital, but I don't think she's going to make it. You better say goodbye to her now. I thought, what are you talking about? That's my mom. I was 8 years old. When they took my mom out the door, I didn't realize I wouldn't see her for 2.5 years. When you don't see your mom for 2.5 years, that's a long time. Every night, all we did was wait for the phone call. Is she still alive? Is she still breathing? She was in an iron lung. She couldn't do anything. Finally, after 2.5 years, my sister and I got to go see my mom. We couldn't be in her presence because of the contagion, but we were on one side of a big glass wall, and they rolled her iron lung up on the other side. My mom was our church pianist, Juilliard trained. Wasn't anything she couldn't play. Talented. Now she can't move. Her hands are all withered up. And I was upset. Can I tell you what I kept thinking? God, this isn't fair. I know people never go to church. They don't have this. What are you doing? Finally, when they rolled my mom's iron lung up, she said to him, "Would you please turn my neck so I can see my kids?" And I remember, God, you took her hands, you took her legs, you took care of her. She can't breathe. You could have left her neck. Would that have been too much? When they moved her neck, she was in a lot of pain. When they finally got her where she could see my sister and I, she didn't say hi. Instead, she just read my face. How many of you know mothers can read their kids' faces? She said, "Davy, don't you think that?" I said, "Don't think what, Mom?" The next words my mom said saved my life. She said, "Son, this isn't what I planned, but the Bible says he's doing all things well. This is what he has for me." When life puts a bear hug on you, what's going to come out of your mouth? Your kids will never forget it. Wow. Finally, my mom got to come home from the hospital, strapped in a wheelchair. I remember my dad saying, "We need to have family devotion." And we did. We'd not had it in 3 years. And when he got to my mom, he said, "What would you like the Lord to do? What do you want God to do, honey?" What she said next floored me. She said, "My music is gone, but I want God to let me serve him somehow. I still have breath." And if you have breath, she said, "God's got something for you to do." And I kept thinking, "Mom, we've been down that path. Look at where we're at." Whoa. If you have breath, God's got something for you to do. A young pastor coming to our community came to see us to pray with us. He'd heard about our plight, and he just came to be polite. And he said, "I know you've been through a lot. You've been 3.5 years in the hospital. I just thought I'd pray." And my mom said, "Well, would you pray God give me something to do for him?" Now, here's a lady can't move. I mean, she's wheelchair bound. And she's saying, "God, give me something to do." She said, "That's my prayer request." And then my mom said to him, "That's the mountain I need God to move." What mountain do you need God to move? He said, "Mrs. Gibbs, we haven't started our church yet. We're going to do that in just a few weeks. So we don't have a Sunday school yet, but when we start the church, we will have a Sunday school. could you do Sunday school from a wheelchair? My mom said, I'd love to. I'd love to try. I still have breath. That first Sunday, only one in the class was my sister and me. And she gave a Sunday school lesson like there were 1,000 kids there. And every Sunday she would just say, God, thank you for letting me use my breath. Don't you dare waste the breath God gives you. It's yours for a reason. And by the way, somebody says, well, how do you know when God's through with you? You'll be looking at him. That's when he's through with you. Finally, my mom came to us and she said, I need to get more kids in the Sunday school. And she said, here's what we're going to do. Your granddad with these trucks, when they were open air, he used to put tent tops on them and he'd take the drivers and go all over the city of Cleveland and pick up kids and take them to Sunday school. And he'd bring 300-400 kids to Sunday school at the Methodist church so they could hear the gospel every week. She said, there's a big bus company uptown. We used to call them the truck kids. She said, we need bus kids. She said, I want you to take me up there. We're going to get them to give us a bus so that we can bring kids to Sunday school. I said, Mom, can I remind you we have no money? When my mom was in the hospital for 3.5 years, my dad gave his word. He said, if you will keep taking care of my bride, I promise you I will pay every penny of these hospital bills. There was no hospitalization. And they said, the bills are $3.5 million. My dad said, I'll pay every penny. And he did. He said, I gave my word. And as a Christian, I will keep my word. But I said, Mom, we have nothing. She said, no, we do. We got a God that can do the impossible. Take me up to that bus company. I took my mom up there, and it was a bad snowy day, icy. And as I was getting my mom out of the car to put her in her wheelchair, I don't know if you've ever tried to help somebody who can't hold back to you. She had no ability to grasp anything. She slid through my arms, and we both went crashing down on the snow and ice. And when we went crashing down, she just screamed in agony. And then I can still remember her saying, don't move me, I'll pass out. Don't move me, I can't take no more pain, don't move me. And I don't want to pass out. And all I could think of is, Mom, what are we doing? I love my mom. She said, son, we're going to lay here and then go get the bus. Finally, after a few, probably 20 minutes, she said, get your hanky out and dry my eyes. I don't want them to see I had tears. She couldn't dry her own tears, but she had breath. Dried her eyes, got her up in the wheelchair, and we went into the bus company. Nice young lady there at the reception desk. My mom said, we don't have any money, and we've come so you can give us a bus to get children to Sunday school. And that young girl said, well, I don't think they've ever done that before, but there's a first time for everything. Let me get the vice president down here. And she called him. You could hear his voice on the phone. Lady needs you to give her a bus to get kids to Sunday school. The guy said, send her away. We've never done it. We're not starting today. And then that little girl said, she's in a wheelchair. You come tell her. Here he come. Nice guy. He said, lady, we just don't give him away. We have hundreds of buses here. We don't do this. My mom said, I appreciate that, but I have a question. Do you own the buses? He said, no, the owner, the president owns the buses. My mom said, well, you can't give me the buses. They're not yours. And I thought, good shot, Mom. That's a good one. She said, I got to talk to the president. That man said, he's not coming down here. He's busy today. That quick, that little girl called the president, and here he come. He came down, walked up. He said, "Lady, I'm not giving you a bus. I want to tell you up front, you're not going to get a bus." But he said, "I don't know what to do with you. I have never had anybody cause me the problem you have. You see, when you parked your car, three floors up was my office window. I saw you fall. And I watched the agony you went through on the ground. I've never seen a bus mean that much to anybody. Why does this bus matter that much to you? Explain it to me." My mom said, "It's an eternal thing. Kids are going to die and go to hell if we don't reach them." He looked at my mom and he said, "Well, if I gave you a bus, who'd drive it? You?" My mom said, "You're right, I forgot. I need a bus and a driver." He said, "Lady, no." Then my mom looked at him, and what she did next floored me. She said, "I'm telling you right now, if you don't give me a bus, God's going to be awfully upset with you." And I thought, whoa, lighten up, Mom. He said, "Okay, lady, here's the deal. I will give you one bus, one driver, 1 week, just one. But you got to promise me you're going to tell God I did it, because I don't want him upset with me." That's what he said. I thought, I don't believe this. She got a bus. My mom said, "Oh, thank you." She said, "But there's two sides to our town, an east and a west. Could you give me two buses and two drivers for 1 week?" He said, "Okay, lady, two buses, two drivers, just 1 week." And that's what he did. Because the next week he gave us three, and then four, and then 20, and then 50, and then 150, and then 300 buses. And finally he was given 500 to 600 buses and drivers every week, getting kids to Sunday school. The Sunday school with no kids in it never had fewer than 5,000 children. And the lady who ran it couldn't do anything, but she had breath. And she knew how to ask God for the impossible. Every week she'd have me push her down by the buses, and she'd tell these bus drivers, "You're going to go to Sunday school and church with us." They'd say, "No, ma'am, we're not going." She'd say, "Yep, put out your cigarettes. You're going to church and you're going to get saved." And like little ducks, they'd follow her in. Finally, we went before the city council in Cleveland, and my mom said, "I want you to agree, anybody going to church anywhere can ride a city bus for free on Sunday if they're going to church." And the president of city council and the mayor said, "We've never done that, and we're not going to do that. That'd be too expensive." And the man that owned the bus company jumped up and said, "You better give it to her. She's going to ask for more. I'm warning you." And then he said this, I can't explain it. God hears her prayers. God hears your prayers too. Ask in faith, believing, and ye shall receive. When my mom passed away, the church came down and they said, we just want to tell you something we've counted. Off of those buses on the mission field, there's almost 300 missionaries that got saved riding the buses that are actively on the field right now. And pastors in the pulpit, over 150. Good job for a lady who only had breath. Do you understand how powerful your breath is when you pray? "Jesus, I'm in the mountain moving business," he says. "But you got to ask in faith, believing, and you shall receive." Bow your head. Father, I don't know what needs are here tonight. Personal ones, family ones, health ones, finances, doesn't matter. You're the God of the impossible. And we get the privilege of asking and moving mountains. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart tonight. And God helping me. I want God to move some mountains for my family, for my life. My heart's been touched tonight. God helping me. I want mountain moving faith. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand up high. Hold them high. You got your hand up. I want you to get out of your seat and make your way to this altar. Knowing this truth doesn't change anything. Doing it changes everything. It's time to start asking. You raise your hand. You come right now. Don't you dare hesitate or delay. Oh, my. Ask in faith, believing, and you shall receive. It changes everything. Father, we bow. Forgive us for not having asked more. Forgive us for being so slow to come to you, asking for the impossible, when you absolutely give us the promise that we will receive. Not maybe we'll receive. You promise we will receive. And that's the faith we have to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. We took you at your word. And now that we're saved, you're saying to us, take that same faith and ask to move mountains. Father, we need the impossible. Without you, we can do nothing. And there are needs, oh my. But you're the God of the impossible. Hear the cry of every heart here. And Jesus, tonight, it's time for us to start mountain moving and putting our faith on point, because your word says if we ask in faith believing, we will receive. Hear the cry of our heart. Thank you for the sweet spirit of these people. I bow with them. Hear our cry in Jesus' name. And all God's children together said, amen, amen. You may be seated. I don't know what needs you have in your life. All I know is your God's bigger than all of them. And can I warn you? Maybe you're sitting here right now saying, well, life's pretty sweet right now. Only takes one phone call to turn your universe upside down. Just one phone call can change everything for your family or for you or for those you love. And if we had to get a hold of the Lord tonight and do some mountain moving, would you say, I'm that person. I'm that person. Can I tell you a story that changed my life? Dr. Johnny Pope is a pastor in Houston, Texas. And I was there doing a case and with him. And he said, on Monday morning, we meet for what we call a live at 5. I said, what's a live at 5? He said, it's men in the church get together for prayer at 5 a.m. And would you like to come? And I thought, man, alive at 5, dead at 6. I don't know, that's awful early. He said, David, the men have found that God moves mountains. And men that ever had a mountain moved, God's moving them. But you got to ask. And I thought, I'm going to go. He picked me up at my room at 4:30. We went to the church, and when we pulled in the parking lot, I thought there'd be 20 men, 10 men, I didn't know. There were 700. I said, are these men all here to pray? He says, wait till you see what happens when God's people start moving mountains. It changes everything. Turn to your neighbor right now and tell him the devil's in trouble. I'm in the mountain moving business. Tell your neighbor the devil is in trouble. Wow. Wow. Please keep us in your prayers. Every month we send out a newsletter. And if you signed up for that this morning, please be faithful for that. We covet your prayers. We need your prayers. We swim in a very dangerous part of the pool with a lot of people who mean us a lot of harm. And we need your prayers for protection and power. In those courtrooms, we desperately need your prayers. All the briefs we write, we need prayer. We need God to do the impossible. So please, and if you don't get our newsletter, please let us send it to you. It's free. All we ask you to do is give us 2 minutes of prayer a month. Now, not a day, not a week, a month. And pray for the lawsuits in the newsletter. We spell them all out what to pray for. Ushers, come forward, would you? If you don't get our newsletter and you didn't sign up this morning, please let us give you an envelope to sign up. Hold your hand up, would you? I don't get your newsletter, Brother Gibbs. Is there anybody did not get right back there? Thank you, young lady. Thank you. Thank you over here. Please fill that out so that we can get it from you. Oh, we covet these prayers. I'm telling you right now, if all we have is David Gibbs, we're sunk. We got to have God. We got to have God. And God answers prayer. Amen. In the back are some books. We'll pick those up right away. The one on the Constitution, I strongly recommend. Please take a look at that. I cannot believe on Fox News and MSNBC and all of them, I hear it all the time, the Constitution says, and what they say it says, it never says anything like that. They're making it up. But if you don't know what it says, you don't know they're making it up. And how do they get away with that? Well, 10 things every Christian should know about the supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution. And then one nation under God. Do you know the preachers who lost their life for signing the Declaration? Are you aware a pastor had his family arrested and put on a British prison ship? And they said, all you have to do is take your name off the Declaration and we'll free your family. Now bear in mind, America didn't exist yet. Just take your name off the Declaration of Independence and we'll let them go. But if you don't, we're going to hang them and kill your family. What would you do? We know what he did. He refused and they hung his family. Then later they caught him and hung him. And you don't know his name. The man gave his life and his family for us to have in America. 10 things every Christian should know about the founding of America. And then this one is brand new. When we go to court, the law has a standard that we agree with. It says your faith has to be truly held. It can't just be some whim. If it's going to be protected, it has to be what is called truly held conviction in nature. And that's why we wrote this. It spells it out exactly. What do we have to do to have our faith protected? And that's brand new. And then my wife's devotion books. Those have been the biggest blessing of anything we've ever put out. Please, I pray they'd be a blessing. And if you don't have money, I'll give you a book for free if you promise me you'll read it. Just please don't fib to me about whether you have money or not. How many of you all agree it's not nice to fib to Brother Gibbs? How many of you all agree with that, okay? No, we've given thousands and thousands of books away. I don't ever want money to stand between us and helping somebody in their walk with God. And that's why we do that. And then the Georgie books for the little kids to memorize scripture. Please, Nothing can take the place of the Word of God in a child's life. Nothing. And these books are designed for them to memorize it. Pastor, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, thank you. Tonight, before we go to sleep, my wife and I are going to get on our knees, and we're going to pray for Pastor Bartlett and his precious wife, and I want you to join us. Now, listen carefully. I am not talking about you buy a quarter pounder with cheese, and I like quarter pounders with cheese. And you say, Lord, thanks for my quarter pounder, and remember the Bartletts. That's a good prayer. That's just not what I'm asking for. Tonight, before you go to sleep, will you get on your knees and join my bride and me and ask God to protect your preacher and anoint your preacher and strengthen your preacher and use him as never before? How many of you will do that with Gloria Ann and me tonight before you pillow your head and sleep? Hold your hand up, would you? Now, if you raised your hand, you just made an appointment with God. And you blow off an appointment with me, that's no big deal. But don't you dare blow off an appointment with God. How many of you say, God helping me, I'm not going to miss that appointment with God tonight. Brother Gibbs, I'm going to do it. Brother Bartlett, we love you. Thank you, thank you for letting us be here. And remember, you've got a mountain-moving God. Don't let anybody talk you out of that. But you got to pray and ask. Only two keys. Ask in faith believing, and ye shall receive. God bless you. Thank you for letting us be here, preacher. And by the way, if you got that envelope filled out, give it to the usher. We want to make sure we get it and take it right back. We'll get those back to you. Thank you, preacher.
Praise the Lord. Wonderful. And the legal alert that they send is good reading. It's interesting. It's informative. And then it's some prayer assignments that we can be involved. And that's what we're supposed to do with our missionaries, right? We're supporting them financially. More significantly, we're supporting them with our prayer life. And so you can do that even more effectively if you'll get the legal alert. I look forward to seeing it as it comes, and thankful. Well, it's just been a great day today for me. I hope it has for you. I feel like it has. It's been a great week for our church. Amen. Really has. I'm still processing it all. The Lord's still working it all through me. And we'll get all these things posted as we have the opportunity. It takes some time to make this all happen, but we'll get these things posted on our website so that you can go back and look at maybe something you missed, review some things that we heard. Do we know for sure, Brother Tim and Brother AJ, did we capture Brother Barton's stuff from out in the gym? Do you all know yet for sure? I hate to put you on the spot, but okay, so we'll get that posted. I definitely want to go back and listen to that again, because he gives stuff far quicker than you can take it all in. And so, Lord willing, Lord helping us, we'll get all that available to you on the archives, on the website. Give us a couple days to get that underway. It takes a little time to make it happen. Let's stand together, please. Is the Lord doing something in your life? Say amen. Amen. I want to say a big amen. Yes, he's doing something significant in my life, and I'm thankful for it. Very thankful for it. Pray for us as we travel. Pray for the meeting, that all the pastors, preachers that are at Southwide would be energized and challenged afresh and anew. And they come from all over the country, and good churches all over America, and their pastors are coming together just so we can encourage one another and listen to some preaching that will help us and get filled up and bring it back. All right? Let's be dismissed tonight in prayer. The materials are at the front entrance, and the CLA guys will be out there to help you. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Matt, lead us as we're dismissed tonight.